Black Mass Plastics has been battling his way through the Sonic War Zone for many years, often with London squad crews such as Crossbones, KDU and Hecate, and has aided and abetted various practice-related projects over the years. A diverse and hard-working DJ and prolific producer of doom-stepping breaks, amongst other styles. He has releases on Audio Illusion, Zark, SMB and Rag & Bone, as well as his own Dawn Industries and Dirty Needles outlets. He's kindly ripped himself away from the South London studio grindstone this evening just to speak to us and spin some Black Plastic for us. Hello, Ian.
Hi.
So if you wouldn't mind telling us how long you've been making sounds and what made you first want to get into playing music and producing your own stuff.
Well, I've been producing for a significantly short amount of time than I've been DJing, and got into production largely through like a lack of vinyl being available that I wanted to buy, and just needing tracks to play and people having labels and needing tracks for those labels. The first label I put stuff out on was SMB Recordings from Paris, which stands for Sous Ma Beat, which you can translate, I'm sure, some people. And that's run by a guy called Yvonne, who's a good friend of mine. And he wasn't particularly into much of the music that his kind of friends were making in France, and was living over here and hooked up with myself and the Dexassist at various squat parties and hassled us into giving him some tracks. So I did the first release for him was SMB number 2, which was collaboration between myself and various other Dead Silence band members. This is before the band existed. So yeah, but I've been DJing since sort of 1991, but only seriously decided that it was the thing to do since from 1992 onwards, really.
So how's your sort of style kind of change over time? Because I used to play with Crossbones.
But with Crossbones, there's always been a kind of old hardcore rave element to it, and I always kind of feel that, even though obviously like the mover PCP angle of Crossbones sound system was like the backbone of it, it's and I found that I was able to kind of like give a kind of slightly more kind of maybe funkier kind of angle to that, to a lot of those kind of parties where they were just playing rigidly militant doomcore. You'd be able to like play some like tracks that by people that like, you know, by a mover or by Stickhead, that were like full on kind of like party breakbeat hardcore, and people wouldn't be able to argue with it because it was by their hero the mover. So yeah, it's a good opportunity. And also John Crossbones, that's Face Hoover, has got an incredible studio just full of like, it's like an analog museum. And he was the first kind of person who ever really took the time to ever sit me down and tell me how everything worked, you know. He's a lot more of a kind of traditional producer than any of the Dead Silence crew, who are all kind of self-taught and, you know, get it, mash everything up together. And, you know, it's hard to kind of penetrate the kind of production process with those guys, because it's very much a kind of dive in at the deep end thing, whereas with Crossbones it was, you know, producing basically techno, really. So I did. I collaborated on the first couple of releases on Last Tomorrow, but the kind of format I just find really kind of restrictive in terms of the sounds that people kind of are into kind of hearing. You know, it's, as soon as you kind of introduce anything kind of like funky or kind of broken up, then it's kind of like, oh, it's not Gabba anymore, or it's not kind of hardcore anymore, it's not doom anymore, so.
Right, so would you mind telling us what the hardware or software ingredients to your sound are? What's the core of your studio setup? And have you got any trade secrets you could divulge?
It's just changed all over, you know, from the start, because when I first started making stuff, it was like a really bad time to start making music, because it was the real shift from hardware to software, and I was convinced that what I needed was big piles of hardware. And to achieve the actual sound that I want to achieve, which I can't even really say that I've necessarily achieved yet, it's definitely not a matter of what hardware or software you're using, but what kind of goal you have. You know, there's my ears are the kind of like thing which have developed rather than my equipment. I use a lot less than I used to use in terms of like plugins and stuff. And from going from trying every sequencer, or not a sequencer, but every sampler and every, you know, software synth going, I've kind of got back down to using the computer as a sampler, really. And if I use a synth, then it's just to use it for the basic analog emulating processes, just like sine waves and square waves and just normal stuff, you know. I mean, I think from when I first started making stuff, which was on like an Atari ST and an Akai sampler, you're only really limited by how far you could push that thing, you know, push that sound. And you know, you'd always find that there was one level higher that you could push it to by leading this back into that. And I feel that with software, there's too much of a kind of emphasis on this one thing will create, you know, your sound and it will solve everything for you. And it's evidently like, that's not the case, that anybody who tries to produce music over a period of time will find that there is no one magic thing, and it's just your ears, and it either sounds right or it doesn't, you know?
It's probably better answer than people to say it's reason, just reason.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's not to say that I necessarily think that what I do sounds right, but I've got an idea of what I'm striving towards, you know? And there's some producers that I kind of hold in really high esteem whose kind of, like, I don't know, quality of production, which is not necessarily just a technical thing, but quality in terms of, like, what they commit themselves in terms of what they release, it's like something that I kind of strive towards. So I've got a clear idea of where I want to get to, but I can't say that I'm necessarily there yet at all. Sometimes I think, yeah, that's really good, you know, but then nobody else does. So I go.
You played in Czech recently with Dead Silence. How is it received? Like, from what I've experienced, the Czech underground is still very kind of hard tech dominated.
I would have liked to have played with the Exorcist from Dead Silence, but he lost his passport, so it was just me.
Oh.
Which was alright though, because I got a chance to just cane it for a lot longer. But yeah, it was great. Played at the Cross Club, the Cross Club, which is without a doubt the best venue I think I've ever played at in terms of clubs. The whole place is like an explosion of Eastern European factories. It's just landed in the format of a space bar, and
Gamesmaster element.
Yeah, and it's a really, really open-minded kind of scene in Prague, but not, you know, a really quite a well-educated scene in terms of, like, they know what's going on, not just in, you know, London, but they know what's going on in America and France. And you know, whilst I was over there, I heard a lot of different music from all different parts of Europe that I just don't get to hear in London, and I would normally just write off because it comes from France or it comes from wherever. I don't know, it's London. While you're over there, people are saying, oh, you come from London and there's this many labels here and this, that and the other, but they don't seem to realise that, you know, that London has this kind of shell of coolness that certain things just don't ever get a chance to penetrate. And it's really hard as a DJ who wants to play all across the board, you know, from, you know, slow breaks or up to drum and bass or whatever tempo, to actually get a grip on what is coming out, you know. I suppose the internet's largely to blame for that as well.
I think I've seen you play live once in the past. I don't seem to. Yeah, I think there was like a nail night
in
a long time ago. I've not really heard of any you playing live since. Is that a much uninformed kind of experience?
No, I just haven't done it for a long, long time. I've tried different ways of doing live sets. When Ableton first came out, I gave that a bash and decided that it wasn't really a good thing for me to be using, because the sound that came out of it, I didn't feel had the kind of dynamic range that I like, you know, when I'm playing. So pretty quickly switched to using like an analog drum machine with built-in sequencer and hardware sampler live. And the reason why I've kind of stopped doing it is because in order to try and put something together that's a different kind of experience each time, or at least a development of the last one, you know, it takes you about a week or 2 weeks or however long you're prepared to kind of put into it to do. And it's not through laziness, but it's through like having to draw a line between production for stuff that's for records and stuff for DJing, and then to take live sets into consideration as well. It seemed that it was just a little bit too much, and seeing as at the end of the day vinyl's what I've always kind of loved, it seemed that why do a live set when I want vinyl to carry on, you know, when I should be DJing and playing, you know, records by my friends on their labels, and you know, and stuff that I don't even know what it is that's just on a white label from God knows where, but still, you know, it's it's not the case that I'm particularly even want to hear just my own music for an hour, you know. Mm-hmm. So I, there's a few live sets that I hear, you know, that do justify their length of time, you know. I mean, obviously I see this in a rave environment and people are up for dancing all night, yeah, but at over an hour of basically one person's beats and dynamic, they'd have to be pretty good and pretty experienced at kind of providing a variety of atmospheres and moods within that time to be able to do it. And I'm not saying that, you know, with unlimited cash you couldn't get like the equipment together to do something like that, but yeah, it's out of my range at the moment. So it's not to say that I won't do live stuff in the future, but that's probably when vinyl is totally illegal or something.
So do you have any like new releases or events to plug, anything coming up that you're playing out
with? New releases, well, I've just had a remix on the B-side of the new Rag & Bone release, which is by FZV, who I think has had a set on LFM, if I'm right.
Yep. Yeah.
Thank
you for a sample mid-set as well.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to remix this stuff as well, because it's like, all you can do is kind of capture the vibe of what he's doing and add your own thing to it. It's not like you hear it and you think, oh, that needs to totally change. You can just emphasise a little bit of stuff. What else is coming out? Dirty Needles 3 has been cut and is sort of imminently inbound. That's, I'll play some stuff off that tonight. There's tracks by Warlock, who runs Rag & Bone, and Scan One, who is an artist who had stuff on various labels, Combat as well. He's just had a 12 out on. I've got play a test of that tonight as well. Probably start off with something from Scan One actually. Who else is on it? There's something by myself on Dirty Needles 3 and something by someone called Crooked Man. And what else is coming out? Oh, an album. Yeah, I'm doing an album on Rag & Bone as well in September, but it might be a bit later than that, Jason. Yeah, September is the time for that. What else? Oh yeah, there's a new Dead Silence label called Edge City Recordings. The first one's come out of that, and I should have a remix of a track called Mind Over Matter, which is more of a drum and bass thing, probably on number 2 or number 3 of that. That's Edge City Recordings, and you can find out all about that at deadsilence.co.uk, and the band or all their gigs and everything connected to that is there. What else? Control Tower, the Dexicist and Radioactive Man's label, has been reborn, and number 11 or number 12 is due out. And there's plenty of other stuff coming out. I could go on for ages about it, but I should just play some of it, really, I reckon.
Sure. So anything else to add?
Thorn Industries and Dirty Needles kind of conjunction night with Ugly Funk at the Red Star some point in Camberwell in South London some point in time in October, and that's about it. Yeah. Tunes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, yeah, corrupt, if you just want to
crack on with it.
Yeah, there is kind of talk about getting Black Mass Plasticus for a regular spot, so you can expect to hear more from him in the near future.
251, 10 DME legs are proved at Rover.
Okay, 10 DME of Rover, breath.
US Air 244, 21 to 20, good afternoon.
Descend to 14,014. When you leave 19, go direct Providence.
Yeah. love it.
Black Seas of Infinity.
FZV remix going on. We'll be right back.
Thank you. light up. Mind over matter. Mind over matter. Mind over matter. Mind over matter. Matter. Matter.
Thank you.